Are there any first-time callers this morning? No, we are just family. Okay. excuse me. The events are as follows. Declare victory. Can someone please mute their line? Declare Victory has an app where you can submit your prayer requests. We encourage you to download the app and submit your requests that way. This will help decrease the traffic we are experiencing with the amount of prayer requests we receive during the greeting time. Information on the app can be found in the Victory Room, or you can ask a friend. Today is Thankful Thursday, and it's a day set aside to remind people just how thankful you are for them. Feel free to share your stories regarding this in the Victory Room. You are invited to join our separate men and women's calls on their new night, Men of Value Everywhere, and Walk It Out will be held tonight at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our fundraiser, Painting with Purpose, is on December the 12th at 6 o'clock p.m. Join us for a night of painting and fellowship. More information can be found on the flyer in the Victory Room, and tickets are available on our website or at bit.ly.com/paintingwithpurpose, all one word. The online prayer requests are, first I want to apologize. I thought that Brother Dan's procedure was yesterday morning because he had posted it at 6:15. But it is this morning. He is having a medical procedure this morning, and he is asking for his Heavenly Father to guide the physician hand also for our Declaration family. Me, Mary, is asking for prayer for her son, Devante. He's coming home from college for winter breaker, asking for traveling grace and for all the other college students that are traveling home. The order of the call is as follows. Scripture will be read by Michelle. Declaration by our wonderful Tanya. We so enjoy listening to her. Prayer warrior number one will be Patty Caldwell. Prayer warrior number two, Deborah Calhoun. Prayer warrior number three, E.K. Dawson. And closing us out today will be Denise Nellis-Smith. And I'll repeat that. Scripture will be read by Michelle. Declaration by Tanya. Prayer warrior number one, Patty Caldwell. Prayer warrior number two, Deborah Calhoun. Prayer warrior number three, E.K. Dawson, and closing us out will be Denise Nellis-Smith. Please don't forget to mute your line by using your standard mute button, or you can use star 6. Everyone have a wonderful and blessed day. Be careful out there on the freeways today, all the roads, because it is windy and rainy. I love you all. Be safe and have a great day as I pass the call to Michelle.
Good morning, all. This is Carol. I'm actually stepping in for Michelle, and I'll be coming to you all from Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9, and it reads as follows. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers and doers to his word as I pass the call.
Good morning. Thank you, Carol, for reading that scripture, and Susie and everyone that participated on the call. I hope you can hear me okay. I'm on these headsets that sometimes kind of trick me. Not trick me, but sounds to me I'm loud enough. And then I hear, oh, we can't hear you. So, but good morning, everybody. I want to go ahead and get started. Little Jessica woke to the smell of cinnamon and bacon. She leaped out of bed, brushed her teeth and gums, washed her face, and made her bed the best she could. She retrieved her school uniform that she had been instructed since the beginning of kindergarten to lay out the night before, from the top of the Hello Kitty chest that Daddy and Mommy bought for her. She was in such a hurry that she skipped a button in her shirt, causing it to leave an asymmetrical shape, put her pullover sweater on backwards, and headed for the kitchen. Her feet felt kind of funny as she ran to the kitchen because running wasn't allowed in the house. Jessica was as energetic and curious as most five-year-old toothless little girls. Upon entering the kitchen, she met Daddy's warm smile as she ran, jumped in his open arms, closed her eyes, and locked her arms around his neck with the grip of a five-year-old who was absolutely in love with her daddy. He stroked her back as he twirled her around and gently squeezed his baby girl. He sat her down on the counter so she could watch as he put the final touches on breakfast, her favorite, French toast, bacon, and eggs with extra powdered sugar on the French toast. The kitchen was a mess, but it didn't matter. Daddy was home. Josh was a pilot for a major airline, so he wasn't home every day like other dads. Making breakfast his first morning home was a ritual that he started once Jessica entered kindergarten. It was a way for them to bond uninterrupted, just he and Jessica, which gave Mommy a chance to sleep in. They cleaned the kitchen, and as they prepared to leave to drop Jess off for school, he could see that her demeanor was slightly down. He knew what it was, but he wasn't ready to give her surprise yet. She got her coat, her Hello Kitty backpack, but as they were about to leave, Josh noticed her shoes were on the wrong foot. This was no surprise to him, as they had been working on left and right shoes for the past several months. He questioned her about her shoes, and as usual, she looked the look of disappointment and embarrassment that came over her face was unmistakable. She bent down, untied her shoes, and took them off and put them on the right foot. As she tied them back up in the big floppy bows that she hadn't quite mastered. All of a sudden, Daddy appeared with a huge bag, a huge brown paper bag. Oh, my God, you should have seen the look of delight on little Jess's face. She knew it was the surprise that she had been waiting for. Oh, my God, she was like a kid in a candy store. She didn't know what it was, but she knew it was going to be something amazing from her daddy because Daddy always gave her good gifts. As she tore into the bag, there was another bag inside of the bag. And then there was another bag inside of that bag. And finally, she got to the gift. And to her surprise, they were brand new Hello Kitty rain boots. Oh, my God. She was absolutely delighted. She squealed and jumped up and down and twirled and danced. You would have thought it was Christmas morning. In a heartbeat, she had those shoes off and her Hello Kitty rain boots on. Oh, my God. She jumped up and down, stomped her feet. She couldn't wait. It was the perfect day to have her Hello Kitty rain boots on because it was literally raining cats and dogs outside. Josh had to calm her down because he didn't want her to wake Mommy, but it was almost impossible. At any rate, they opened the front door, got ready to leave, But the rain was coming down so bad, so hard that they decided to go out the garage door and take Mommy's car instead. Jess obviously was a little disappointed because she wanted the opportunity to test her new rain boots out in the puddles that were forming outside. But Daddy said no, it was getting kind of late, and he didn't want her to be late for school. He was actually a little bit more concerned about the heavy fog that was out this morning, and he knew he was going to have to drive a little slower because it was so foggy. As they got in the car and Jess got in her, got buckled up, and Daddy got buckled up, they proceeded down the road. It was still a little dark. The sun hadn't quite come out yet. As Jess began the following conversation with her dad, "Daddy, why is it so foggy outside? Where does the fog come from? Where is the sun?" Just all, she began to give him a barrage of questions. So Josh started to answer the questions one by one as he slowly proceeded down the road. Her first question, "Why is it so foggy?" he really couldn't answer because he didn't have the answer for that. She wanted to know where the fog came from. She wanted to know where it was, when it wasn't foggy, the whole nine. As they entered in their conversation, Jess settled back with attentive ears as she listened to her dad give the best explanation that he could about fog and its whereabouts or where it came from. As we move forward in the declaration, I want to talk to you about fog myself. Now, I did a little bit of research, and I discovered the five most foggiest places in North America are Grand Banks, Newfoundland, Point Reyes, California, Cape Disappointment, Washington, San Francisco, California, and Mistake Island, Maine. Now, I'm from San Francisco, born and raised, and I got to tell you, there have been some times when it has been so foggy in San Francisco that you could barely see your feet in front of you. Especially, now they say San Francisco is listed as the fourth most foggiest place in northern America, but to me, Pacifica, if you've ever been to Pacifica, Pacifica to me seems to stay foggy. But as I think about it, crossing a place like the Golden Gate Bridge, there are times when you can barely see the full length of the bridge. And if you've ever gone on top of, I forget the name of the location, but it is just above the Bay, I can see it in my mind, and somebody will probably know, then we can talk about it during the Love, Life, and Victory call. But it's a hill just above the Bay Bridge, and if you're facing it, the bridge will be to your left, but it's in Marin County. But you can see the layer of fog that envelops the Golden Gate Bridge. It's beautiful to see from a distance, but it can be very, very dangerous when you're trying to cross or when you are crossing that bridge because you literally cannot see in front of you. At any rate, why am I talking about fog? Well, I woke up this morning, probably about 3:30 or 4 o'clock or so, to the sound of foghorns. My home is not very far from the Carquinez Strait here in Benicia, and I could hear the foghorns as I guess there were ships or very large boats that were passing by in the water, making a sound to let somebody know that they were coming. At any rate, I began to think about the fog, and on days like this when it can be really, it was super foggy yesterday, days like this when it can be super, super, super foggy. And as I read a little bit more information about the fog, really fog is a huge cloud, or they're huge cloud that it's not like a regular cloud, but what has happened is that droplets of water have gathered and formed what we know as a cloud. The thing about clouds is that they can be full of misperception. Our perception is not as clear when we're passing through foggy weather because of the droplets of water that are projected, especially at night. During the day, it's one thing, but at night, it's even, for me at least, it's even more dangerous because you just cannot see. You know, I don't know about you, but I've been driving through the fog, and, you know, I can't really see. I put on the high beams. That seems to make it worse. And so you literally are forced to slow down. Though there are people who will still drive the regular speed when it's absolutely dangerous, especially when you are in unfamiliar territory. Tanya, what in the world are you talking about? You talked about Jessica in the fog. Now you're talking about fog. What does this have to do with any type of declaration? Well, just hold on. I'm going to connect it in just a minute, and then I believe we're going to have a lively discussion during Love, Life, and Victory. As I thought about fog this morning, we'll go from night to day. The thing about it, though, during the day is that you can't see the sun. You know it's daylight because it's not dark anymore. You can't have daylight and dark at the same time. However, it's so foggy that the fog literally blocks the sun. Isn't it the case in life? There are situations that we face in life that seem like they are literally, the sun is literally blocked. Not the physical sun, S-U-N, but the sun, S-O-N, the sun of God. There are times when we cause the fog. What are you talking about, Tanya? The distraction? We allow the clouds to come in and distract us and prevent us from really having that relationship that we should have with the sun. The fog could be representative of people in our lives that influence us. It could be representative of a person, perhaps a boyfriend or a girlfriend, even a spouse, that prevent us from having that true relationship that we should have with the sun. It could be things. It could be money. It could be materialistic items. It could be clothes. It could be shoes. It could be purses. It could be vehicles. It could be homes, things that really are in the way of our relationship with the sun, because we almost worship those things. What do you mean? Well, those things can prevent us from doing the work that we know we're supposed to do. Those things can prevent us from being a light and a witness that we know we should be, because it's almost as if we worship those things. But worship them how? Worship them because we don't want to share them. Worship them because we don't want to allow people to ride in that brand new shiny car that God has blessed us with. We don't want people sitting on our furniture that God has blessed us with. We have a home full of furniture, and we know somebody is in need of a place, and yet we don't want to open our home, not to a stranger, but to a relative. They're not on drugs. They just are in between, you know, places, and we could be a help, but our thing, we worship our things, and so those things are a fog between us and the sun. Money, it's a thing too, but it can be a distraction as well. How? How so? Well, you make a decision that you make too much money to tithe. You don't make enough money to tithe. And so you squander your money. You hold on to it, and you can't for the life of you figure out why is it you never have any money. Fog. The fog can blind us or impair our vision from really understanding and knowing that it is a blessing in tithing. It is a blessing to be a blessing. It is a blessing, and it is us being obedient when we tithe, when we give a dime off of every only a dime off of every dollar that we make, that we earn, just a dime. God allows us to keep 90% of what we make, and he just simply asks for 10%, not because he needs our money, no, not at all, but out of obedience. Let me run over to, because I'm almost out of time. Let me connect all of this. The fog in our lives prevents us from seeing the sun. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says that we live by faith, not by sight. Just like little Jess was asking her dad about questions about the fog, where it came from, her curiosity about where the sun was, it was actually hidden by the fog. See, we shouldn't go through life thinking that we're going to be able to see everything clearly. I want to go back to the scripture. We live by faith and not by sight. But some of us live by sight and not by faith. And when we can't see the sun, we assume the sun isn't there. Well, we won't always see the sun, as in the case with the fog. There are days, there are times in our life when we literally will not see the sun, S-U-N. But how do you know he's there? Well, you know that he's there because you can feel him. You know that he's there because of the evidence. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Because of the evidence. Glory to God. He lets us know that he's there through other people sometimes, through his word sometimes, through a word that is shared, like on a declaration, on the victory call, through a scripture that you read, that he directs you to read. He's there. We may not be able to see him all the time, and it's not necessary for us. But when we have that connection, when we have that relationship, we know that he is there, a very present help in the time of trouble. I want to leave you with this last text of scriptures, Colossians 1:21 through 23. Once you were alienated from God and you were enemies with him in your minds, which was shown by your evil actions, but now he has reconciled you by his physical body through death to present you before God as a people who are holy, faultless, and without blame. But you need to remain well established and rooted in faith and not shift away from the hope given in the good news that you heard. This message has been preached throughout all creations under heaven. And I, Paul, became a servant of his good news. So once we were alienated from God, the fog, you see, separated us from God. In this case, the fog will represent sin. It separated us from God, causing us to be his enemies through our actions, through our thoughts. But now that we have accepted his son Jesus as our personal Savior, we have been reconciled back to him. We were only reconciled though through and by the blood that Jesus shed for us on the cross at Calvary. It's amazing. It is absolutely a miracle that we were chosen, you, me and you, we were selected to be reconciled by God through Jesus. When you think about all of the millions of people on earth, he made a decision of you and me. It could have been your brother, it could have been your sister, it could have been your best friend, but he made a decision to call us out of the darkness, into this marvelous light, out of the fog, into this marvelous light. And we know for surety, not by what we see, but through the word of God, that he's always with us. So no matter how dense the fog may get, no matter how challenging the trial of your faith may be, know for a surety that regardless of whether you see him or not, he is there with you. And just like as I close and get ready to pass the call off to Jess, just as, if you can imagine, yourself running into the arms of your daddy on those days when you're uncertain, running into the arms of your daddy and you wrapping your arms around his neck as he spins you around in the kitchen with the smell of bacon and cinnamon filling your nostrils with that sense of comfort that daddy is always there. God bless you as I pass the call off to Patty.
Good morning, Father. We come to you this morning, Lord, and we thank you for another day, Father God, that you woke each one of us up, and we're able and allowed to get on the line this morning with one another and give our first part of our morning to you, Lord. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you for all who have participated thus far this morning on the call, Lord, and we thank you for Tanya and her declaration, Lord. Once again, Lord, we thank you also, Lord, that you have given Andrew another day, his birthday this today, Lord, that he gets to celebrate it. Lord, we thank you, and we ask that you bless him today and that he'd have a wonderful day today. Father God, we ask that you would just bless each one who is traveling this morning on the wet roads. We ask that you would give them a safe journey to where they're going. Father, we pray that you would just give them each one a safe journey, Lord God, and that they would pay attention to all that's going on while they're on the road, Lord God. Father, we'd like to lift up Sister Julia right now, Lord, who's having some pain in her right foot, Father. I ask, Lord God, that you would remove the pain, Father, and that you would give her comfort instead of discomfort, Lord God. And, Father, I pray right now for her family, Lord, that she prays for on a daily basis, Lord God. We also pray for the Victory family, Lord God, and also Pastor Hope's cousin who will be, there will be a funeral service on the 15th. We pray that you would bless that family and all who are involved and who actually know him. Father, we lift up Dan, who's going to be having a procedure this morning. We pray, Father God, that the procedure would come back well. And as all is well, Lord God, and we ask that you would just be with him and those who are involved. Father, I also like to lift up my mom, who is now in hospice. Father, I just pray for her peace, Father. I pray for her peace during this time and her comfort, Lord God. And we pray for JC and her medical procedure that she's going to be having tomorrow. And, Father, I pray that you would be with that procedure as well and that you would give her a peace that surpasses all understanding during this time. Me, Mary, who is asking for prayer for Devante, who is going to be coming home today, Lord God, I ask that you would give him safe travels, Lord, and also for all the other college students who will be coming home to be with their families for winter break. Father, I ask that however they're coming, that you would be with that bus driver or that pilot or on the train, Father, we ask that you would give them a safe journey here, Lord God, and that they would just have a great time being back home with their families, Lord God, and we thank you for that. And Father, I pray for Monica Evans, Father, I ask that you would give her that you would teach her time management, Lord God, and that you would keep her staying on task, Lord God, and that you would just be with that young lady as she's growing into the young lady that you would have her to be, Father God. And all those other young adults or young kids, Lord, who are growing, that are doing things that they need to do to get prepared for school or just in general for life, Lord God, we pray that you would teach them the things that you would like them to know, Lord God. And we ask that you would be with each parent and all grandparents, Father God. We lift them up to you right now, Lord. And I just like to say a special prayer for those kids and children who are going to school, Lord God. I ask that you would give them a safe journey from their front door to school, Father, and that you would protect them while they're on the campus, Lord, from any hurt, from any bullying, or any of that, Lord God. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you for this day. We thank you again for loving us unconditionally, Lord, as I pass the call.
This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, I thank you for everyone that has gone before me, Lord Jesus, and the ones that are going after me. I ask you to pour back into them, Lord Jesus, and to bless them, Father God. Father, we love you and we bless your holy name. We thank you that you overcame this world at the cross and took our sins upon you. We thank you for your grace every day, and we thank you for your love. You are our one and only God. You are our King of Kings. You are our greatest, and how awesome you are. We thank you for teaching us your word and how to apply it in each and every one of our lives. We thank you that you help us to have a desire to choose your path for us to walk in this day. And we thank you for your peace, which transcends all understanding, to guard our hearts and minds in you, Lord. And we thank you for the continual renewing of our mind in you, Lord, every day. And we thank you that all things work together and are fitting into a plan for our good, because we love you and we are called according to your purpose. Lord Jesus, we lift up all of our unsaved ones, Lord, in each of our worlds. We ask you to clear their eyes, heart, and mind to see and feel the love you have for them. We ask that they will not try to put man's reasoning on you, Lord, but that they will come to you as a child just to surrender their heart to you. We thank you that in the name of Jesus, they all will be in heaven. And we thank you that you are setting everything up for them to accept you as their personal Savior, in Jesus' name. And Lord Jesus, we also lift up our children and our adult children. We thank you for your blood to cover all of them. We ask you to protect their mind and heart from the things of this world and to replace it with your truth and love. We ask you to a love in them to want to know more of you, Lord, and how they can live their life for you. We thank you for your wisdom, understanding, and knowledge to direct their decision-making this day. Also, we thank you to help the church to have funds to invest in the children's church so that we can capture our children at a young age to instill your heart into them. And Father, we lift up our marriages unto you. We thank you that perfect love casts out fear. We thank you that they live in peace, quietness, harmony, and respect towards each other. We thank you that their love grows stronger day by day because it is founded on your word. And we thank you that they listen to each other and that they will preserve their own personality while responding to the desires of each other. They walk in agreement according to your word. And if anything in their marriage is not of you, Father, we ask in Jesus' name for you to remove it. And Lord, we lift up us singles, Lord. We thank you that you know the plans you have for us, not to cause harm, but to give us hope and a future. Father, we thank you for all of the prior work that you're doing in each of us before you cause that divine meet. All the ways of a man are pure in his own heart, but you, Lord, weigh the spirit, thought, and the intentions. So we thank you that our thoughts are one of the same to your will. Then our future will be established and succeed, because you are our God, our Savior. And Father, we pray for our enemies. We ask you to give us the strength to love our enemies, to show patience and kindness. We ask you to help us in the times that they are rude and self-seeking, touchy, resentful towards us. We will not repay wrong, but to offer praise unto you, Father. We do not rejoice at their injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoice in right and truth, your rightness and truth, Lord. We pray for those who persecute us and have a bad attitude towards us, but our love proceeds more than their cruelty. We just continue to plant seeds of love in Jesus' name. And Lord Jesus, I want to lift up to you, Lord, anyone that's on the call or anyone that knows of anyone that's not feeling well. We just want to lift up your word, Lord Jesus, that by your stripes we are healed, Lord Jesus. The price has already been paid on the cross, Lord. And each of us, we claim our healings this day, Father God. And I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for us all to be still and to wait on you, Lord Jesus, and to know that we will soar under wings like eagles, Lord, and that we will run and we will run, Lord Jesus, and not lose our steps, Lord Jesus, and we will walk, Lord, and faint not. We just thank you for everything that you're doing for each and every one of us, Lord. And we thank you for meeting all of our needs, Lord. And if anyone on the call is downcast or depressed, Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, as your word goes out to work, Lord Jesus, and we seal each and every prayer in the precious name of Jesus as I pass the call.
God, I thank you and give you glory and honor. Thank you, God, for blessing us just this morning, God. Thank you for touching us and waking us with the finger of love, oh God. Thank you, Lord God, for being in a right mind, Lord God, in a right place, in a right space, Lord God. Thank you for whoop over our heads, Lord God. And God, I thank you for modes of transportation, Lord God. Thank you for clothes on our back and the necessary things that you do for us, Lord God, that we just so easily skim past, Lord God. But today I'm like the other guy, the leper who came back, the one that came back to say thank you, Lord God. So I have a thank you on my heart and on my lips, oh God. So God, I say thank you for everything and all things that you put in our way, that you, the struggles, the trials, the tribulations, but not only those things that help us grow, but the good things, Lord God. Thank you for your consistency. Thank you for your mindfulness of your children, Lord God. God, I just thank you for everything, Lord God. I thank you for those that have called and prayed prior to me, Lord God. Bless them, Lord God, and bless my dear sister Denise is going to pray right behind me, Lord God. God, continue to give us the desires of our heart, Lord God. Continue to allow us to serve and work for you, Lord God. Continue, God, that we would continue, Lord God, that we would continue to never grow weary in well-doing, Lord God, that we would continue to evangelize. We would continue to let our light shine, oh God. We would continue to work and to serve and to praise you forever and forever, Lord God. God, I thank you this morning for an awesome declaration, Lord God. I thank you for the phone calls and the calls that will go on tonight, Lord God, that will continue to bless people all through the day. I thank you, Lord God, for the intercessors, Lord God, that are praying all day and all night, Lord God, for others, people that we don't even know, situations that we can't even call out that come up in our spirit, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that they would just be so patient and loving and kind to pray for others, Lord God. We pray in this season, Lord God, that people will continue to be benevolent, Lord God, with warm coats and socks and underwear drives, Lord God, for those that are less fortunate, Lord, that would feed and go with feeding programs and boxes and help supply different things, whether they be canned goods or boxed goods or go in their own kitchens or their own cupboards out of their own supply, Lord God, and be benevolent to someone else, Lord God. Thank you, God, that you put it on our heart, Lord God, that we would be a blessing to others, Lord God. Thank you for the warm coats and the warm and the sleeping bags and the bags of necessities, Lord God. We're going out this weekend, Lord God, to feed the homeless, Lord God, and to do to give them the things that they need, Lord God, wet wipes and different things, personals that they would need to take care of themselves, Lord God. And we do it for your glory, but we also do it to help someone else, Lord God, that is less fortunate, God. So we thank you, God. We thank you for our churches. We thank you for our mission and evangelism. We thank you for our ministries that will be going out this weekend. We thank you for the Christmas plays and the musicals and all of these things for this season that we're, this season really is not about gift giving, because you are our gift, Lord God. And because of you were the greatest gift that we could ever have, Lord God, that we would continue to give gifts of blessings, gifts of patience, gifts of peace, Lord God. So continue to allow us to love on people even the more, especially during this season. We speak, Lord God, that we would be a help, Lord God, to people that are depressed, Lord God. Thank you for those that have already prayed for depression, and Lord God, and that they would help build other people up, God. And then most of all, we pray for the leadership and the victors on this call, Lord God. Bless them, each and every one. Hear their heart cry, Lord God. Hear their minds, their spirits, Lord God. We know, Lord God, that you are more than able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ever even ask or think, that you would continue to blow our minds, Lord God. I thank you. God, I thank you for those that would that are on the calls, even on the Saturdays and the Sundays, Lord God. Thank you for the call after the call, the love, light, and victory, Lord. Bless them and bless them indeed. Continue to heal Dion and her family, Lord God, and be with them as Demari, as he prepares to go on his journey as a young man, Lord God. Just bless and bless our young people that are on the call, God, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, as I pass the call.
Give me one moment. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, we bless you for this this morning. We thank you for all that you have done for us, and we thank you for the sunrise, Lord Jesus, and we woke up to a wonderful rain that was much needed. So we know you as our supplier, and we know you as our comfort. And God, we know you as our Ebenezer, the place that we remember what you have done, great exploits in our lives. And so we thank you this morning, and we give you all the praise, and we give you all the glory and all the honor. God, you have been there for us, Lord Jesus, when we didn't know anywhere else to go. God, you have been there when we didn't know what to do and we didn't know what to say, Lord Jesus. God, you have been there. And so we say thank you this morning. God, we thank you that our faith is meeting the miracles that you have wrought in our lives, and we're believing you for things and paths, Lord Jesus, that we have never met before, Lord God. You are leading us down places, Lord Jesus, that we have never seen, God, things that we never thought that we would do, Lord God. You're opening doors as never before, and we thank you. God, I bless you for everyone who has deposited in this line this morning, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the prayer. We thank you for the declaration, Lord God, that is a reminder, Lord Jesus, that you are God and God alone, Lord, and that you have done some wonderful things in our lives, and that we have to give back, Lord Jesus, and God, that our giftings and the things that you have done for us, Lord Jesus, the money, Lord God, that you have supplied us with, those things are good, but the thing that's most important is what we can give back. God, we bless you this morning for our jobs and our homes and our children, how you have kept us safe, Lord Jesus, God, and how you have held back the hands of death on many occasions, God, and we bless you for that this morning. We thank you this morning, Lord Jesus, for your word, Lord God. So, because it's like a fuller soap, God, that it cleanses our lives, Lord Jesus. And even as we immerse ourselves, even the more in it, Lord God, how we see our lives morphing and changing, Lord God, into something beautiful. God, we thank you because you use dirt. God, the dirty things, Lord Jesus, the things that were dirt in our lives, the things that we didn't count, Lord God, it's the things that you have counted, Lord Jesus. And you cause all things to work together for our good. God, we bless you. God, we honor you this morning, Lord Jesus, God. Even as we woke up and brushed our teeth, Lord Jesus, and we turned on the water, and we can open up our refrigerators, Lord Jesus, God. Some of us may not have money for Christmas presents or things like that, Lord God, or a Christmas tree or whatever. We realize that the real reason for the season is that you have come to make a right relationship with us, God, a trustworthy relationship. And, Lord Jesus, so if I don't have the money to buy this present or that present, we're not going to trip, Lord Jesus, this morning, because the best thing that you could have done for us, Lord God, is to come and have a relationship with us. And we thank you for that this morning. We bless your name, Lord God, because the reason for the season is that we have a relationship, Lord God, a trustworthy relationship with you, Lord God, that we can trust you. If we can't trust anyone else, we can trust you, Lord Jesus, because if God, if everyone turns their back on us, we already know that you're there with us. We already know that you're there. You're here with us, Lord Jesus. You're in our situations. You're in our stuff. You're in our mess, God. You're always there. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. We have that confidence, and we have that assurance, Lord Jesus, that you're there with us, God. And so we bless you this morning, Lord God, for all that you are to us, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you that you are our Redeemer. God, we thank you that you are our Savior, Lord Jesus. We thank you this morning because we don't have anyone else that we can rely upon like we rely upon you. And so we give you the glory and we give you the honor. And even as we take our phones off mute, God, we bless you this morning because there is no one else that we can turn to. There is no one that we can rely upon like we can rely upon you, Lord Jesus.
Yes,
God, we glorify you,
yes,
Lord Jesus.
Lord.
Even in this place, Lord God, we give you the
yes,
glory, Lord.
Lord
Jesus. We stretch
yes,
our arms
Lord.
And we
thank
lift
you,
our hearts, Lord God, because
thank
there is
you,
none
God.
Like you in all the
hallelujah.
Earth, Lord Jesus. So we wake up this
thank
morning
you,
and we sing our songs and we
yes,
make merry in our hearts, Lord Jesus. God, and we remember all the things that you've been that we've been through. God, and we remember all the things that you brought us from and brought us out of. God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, because there is none like you. And I can't say that anymore, Lord Jesus, than I do,
Lord
God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, because you have been with us through danger, seen and unseen, Lord Jesus. God, we bless you. God, we honor you, Lord Jesus, from the place where we are. From the place where we are, God, we give you the glory. Lord Jesus, from the place where we are, we honor you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for our houses. Sure, they may not be what we want, Lord God, and they may not be how we want them to be, Lord God, but we didn't sleep outside, so we honor you, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you for last night's dinner and this morning's breakfast. Whatever, Lord Jesus, a cup of tea, a cup of coffee. God, and somebody who didn't have anything this morning, Lord Jesus, so we praise your name, Lord Jesus. Just for the cup of coffee that we've had this morning, God. So we honor you, Lord Jesus. God, we count our blessings, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you. God, we praise you. God, we lift you, Lord Jesus, on this morning, because there is none like you in all the earth, Lord Jesus. God, you swear the heavens of the earth, Lord Jesus. You know every heaven upon our head, Lord God, and you know our frame. Lord Jesus, we bless you, Lord Jesus. God, it's not about the money. It's not about the houses. It's not about the cars. It's not about the stuff that we have, Lord Jesus. God, that is about our relationship with you. And so we honor you this morning. God, we can't do without you. We cannot do without you, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you for our neighborhood. God, we thank you, children that run and play, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that there is an awareness, Lord God, that there is an ever-present evil. Lord Jesus, God, I thank you because you're an ever-present help. Lord God, we thank you for our instincts. God, we thank you for being able to see past situations, Lord Jesus, and see into situations, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the time that you have given us on this earth to make an impact and make a difference. Lord Jesus, we bless your name. God, we give you the glory, Lord Jesus.
Without you, we need you. We need you today. We need you every hour, God. Help us, Father.
Help us, Lord God.
Help us, God.
Help us to love you, Lord God.
Help us to be the light.
Help us, Lord
God.
Hallelujah.
Jesus,
to
come up to us
in the midst of our hurt, Lord God. In the midst of our pain, Lord God. in the midst of the distractions, Lord God. Help us to see you, Lord God. Help us to see our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord God, to stand on your holy word. In the mighty name of
Jesus,
Lord God.
And we praise your name, Lord Jesus, for we did Jesus.
Lord God.
We praise you for what we have in our hands, Lord Jesus, what we can do, Lord God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that in this season, God, when our hearts are overwhelmed, that we're led to you, the rock that is higher than I, Lord Jesus. God, that we rebuke depression and oppression and anxiety, all of those things, Lord God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, because when we begin to talk to ourselves, Lord Jesus, and talk about you, Lord God, and think about what you have brought us from, Lord Jesus, and when we begin to count your blessings, would you bring us up from the low place?
We need you, Lord God.
This morning, Lord God, for bringing us up from the low place. We thank you for that. For this time of year is a year of celebration. God, we thank you, Lord God, that it's our anniversary, Lord Jesus. God, it's the time, Lord Jesus, that you chose to be with us. God, that you chose to do stuff for us, Lord God, and we bless you. We thank you, Lord God, for your blood that covers and keeps us, Lord Jesus, that covers our families, Lord Jesus, God, that covers our household, Lord Jesus, that covers our lives, Lord God. We bless you for it now in the name of Jesus. God, we give you the praise, Lord Jesus. God, we give you the praise, God, for we are the circumcision and we worship God in the spirit. And we rejoice in Christ Jesus and Jesus in the flesh. God, we bless you because we're in you that is true and we know you that is true. God, even in your Son, Christ Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are to us, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are, Lord Jesus. We thank you that we walk by faith and not by sight. God, we bless you today, Lord God, that we have a comfort and an assurance, Lord Jesus, that we will see you again, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you because we're seated in heavenly places. God, while we're taking our seats.
God, we bless you. Victory. We thank you, Lord God, this morning that we declare, Lord, victory over our lives, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
God,
we thank you. We bless you and we lift our hands to you in praise, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, God. This is a good day, and it's the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it, Lord Jesus. God, speak to our souls. God, we speak to our emotions this morning. Be still. Hallelujah. We will be still and know that you are God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We will be still and know that you are God in every situation, every area of our lives, Lord Jesus. We'll be still and know that you are God and that you are maker of the heavens and the earth, and there is nothing impossible for you. There is nothing impossible. God, help us to open our mouths. Help us to open our mouths to make our petitions known unto you, Lord God, the author and the finisher of our faith. God, I believe you. God, I believe you. God, we trust you. Oh, my God. Impossible is your job, God. We give you our impossible. We give you our impossible, Lord Jesus. God, we give you our impossible. The things that don't seem to change, Lord Jesus. The things that seem stubborn in our lives. The things that don't want to move, Lord Jesus. God, we give you our impossible, Lord God. And even as we stand, Lord Jesus, God, we gird up our loins, Lord Jesus. God, we gird up our loins, Lord Jesus, that we can stand in your face, God, as your children, your sons and daughters, God, who are named, Lord Jesus, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. God, we bless you today. Lord God, we can come to you without shame, Lord Jesus, and without guilt. God, and we can obtain mercy, Lord Jesus, and we can obtain forgiveness, Lord Jesus. Jesus, God, help us to remember who we are. God, we bless you. We thank you, and we give you all the glory. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray as I pass the call.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen and amen. Thank you for the wonderful prayer. As we prepare to go into Love, Life, and Victory portion of the call, are there any first-time callers that might not have had a chance to announce themselves who would like to say good morning? Is there anyone that joined the call a little late and did not get a chance to say good morning? Would you like to say good morning?
Good morning, family. It's Bubbly.
There you are, Bubbly. Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you, Lord God. Good morning, Victory family. God bless you.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm blessed and highly faithful. Thank you, Lord.
Good morning. It's Marcus.
Good morning, Marcus. Are there any little people this morning?
Good morning, it's Bridget.
Good morning, Bridget.
Good morning,
it's
Nyjah.
Good morning, Nyjah.
Morning, it's Asaya.
Good morning, Asaya. How are you guys?
Good morning, it's Anthony.
Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning, it's Bridget.
Good morning, Bridget.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, it's Shannon.
Good morning, Shannon.
Good morning, this is Tanya.
Good morning, Tanya. Anyone else? Okay, well, at this time, I will go ahead and pass the call back to Tanya. Everyone be safe out there. It's really raining hard. Love you all. God bless you. As I turn the call over,
I need the old, I need thee every hour, I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.
I don't know, that little praise was just ringing down in my heart. Thank you, faithful Andrew. Andrew will drop that, what is that, baritone? In a minute. Good morning, everybody. I'm excited about Jesus this morning. I am thankful to be alive, and I am thankful to be in this space. You know, we can sometimes, I'll get to the declaration, but sometimes we can just get in a funk, especially around this time of the year. I think, you know, there are times when we just put too much on it, from the pressure of society because of the commercialization of Christmas, and we put this undue pressure on ourselves. But I'm thankful to be alive. I'm thankful today that my family members are alive, extended family members as well as my immediate family members. I'm thankful that we are healthy. You know, people had a little high blood pressure and that kind of stuff. But I just, as a whole, thank you that, you know, nobody has been stricken with any major illnesses, and so on and so forth. So I just bless God just for, and I'm excited. Today is December the 10th. The year is almost over. It just seems like it just came and went so fast. But anyway, let's go on back to little Miss Jessica. I don't know about anybody else, but as I wrote about her, I could literally see her in my mind, waking up to the smell of cinnamon and bacon, and knowing something special, somebody was in the house, and she was going to get a chance to see them. Does anybody have any fond memories of a caretaker, a grandmother, an aunt, a cousin, a big sister, somebody making your favorite food, and you were there to smell it? You could hardly wait to get in there to taste it. Anybody?
Hi, Tanya. This is Deborah Yvonne.
Hey,
and thank you for your declaration. It really brought me back down memory lane. I remember my dad. He used to do that all the time. Me and my siblings will be sleeping, and I will wake up, and you can smell the bacon and the eggs and the toast. And I just want to say thank you. That was a Christmas gift from you to me because it brought me back memory lane.
Oh, God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else have a fond memory associated with, you know, early morning or even in the evening, coming home from school or something like that? Anybody else have a fond memory this they want to share? Yes.
How you doing? I enjoyed your declaration.
Hi.
I was thinking you made me think about my mom when we used to get out of school. And we could smell it through the windows, her cooking, you know, and she used to cook some food for us and have it prepared for us. And we used to look forward to that. We used to be at school, couldn't wait to get home to that in the afternoon, though. And then I also had an older lady that used to make homemade biscuits for me. And nobody can make biscuits like this old lady. I just hate that before she passed, I didn't get her recipe.
Yeah. It's, you know, it is amazing. We become such an instant society, and I'm going to give somebody else time to, if they'd like to share. We become such an instant society that, you know, we'll go buy the biscuits in the can and pop them open and make those and think we're doing something. But there is nothing like that can take the place of cooking that, you know, where you've put the ingredients together yourself, you know, to the point where you don't know what the measurement is. Just, you know, a little of this and you put a little of that. Well, Mom, how you make this? Well, just make, you know, taste it. But, yeah, I can identify with some dough biscuits and warm butter or melted butter and honey or syrup. I didn't really like my biscuits with jelly. I liked honey or syrup. Anybody else have a fond memory associated with
Yeah. Hey, this is Marcus. I right on the heels of my mom, when my brother and my sister and I, we lived with our grandmother for some time. When we were coming up, my grandmother did the same thing. You know, we would come home from school and dinner would be cooked every single day. And it's like, you know, I didn't even realize how special that was until I'm hearing you talk about it now, you know, because it's not a common thing nowadays. And so I really do treasure that. And I can almost smell the spaghetti she was making in the kitchen when we was coming home. So, yeah.
Thank you, Marcus. None of you on this call will probably ever get a chance to do this. But Marcus's grandmother, the Mrs.'s mother, my Tootie, makes the best coconut. Is it coconut pineapple cake? Is it coconut pineapple,
yep.
You guys? Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus. Her, Cheryl, do you remember you came to my house? I wanted the recipe so bad. I don't know where Tootie was living at the time, but she and Cheryl came to my house in Vallejo to try and show me how to make that cake. I think I made it once. But it's not the same as when Tootie makes it. It's just absolutely not the same. Anybody else? I'll take one or two more, and then we'll move on to
Yeah, this is Sister Julia. Can you hear me, Sister Julia?
Yes, ma'am. Hold on 1 second, Sister Julia, and I heard somebody else's voice.
This is Ruth.
Okay, so Sister Julia, you go, and then Ruth.
Okay, my mother, she probably raised me, but that's how I learned how to cook. She used to get up early in the morning and make that coffee and that whole cake and boil the bacon and make bacon for us. And when we come home for dinner, come home from school, dinner's ready, but she always was singing when she cooked. It's mm-hmm. always singing. I used to stand there by her and just sing with her and learn how to cook. That's how I learned how to cook. And that coconut pineapple cake, yes, I know how to make that. Homemade.
Amen.
I watched my grandmother make that chum, that butter, and leave the butter out of chum and all of that. I watched her do all that. Everything she did, she was always singing. But that's how I learned how to cook. and I can cook. Or I cook all them homemade pies and cakes and all of that. They used to make them pies and cakes and, for the holidays and cover them up with a sheet over, put a sheet over them, and, you know, and go out there and kill the turkey and all of that. I went through all of that, so that's how I learned how to cook it. I remember my grandmother, but she used to make some good homemade biscuits. Jesus.
Thank you so much.
Oh, yes.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I can almost taste it. I can almost taste it. Thank you, Sister Julie.
And then when we ran out of syrup, she used brown sugar. Used some sugar and cook it and mix syrup and put on that whole cake and my homemade biscuits. Lord have mercy.
Thank you. Thank you. Ruth, go ahead.
Oh, I have fond memories of my sister and I when we used to visit my dad in Los Angeles. We would go there every summer. And my grandmother, every morning we could smell the fresh smell of bacon. And, I mean, we just looked forward to it. It was pretty boring in L.A. because there was no kids, just met my sister and I. And they were Seventh-day Adventists. And so we didn't do a lot, but I always could look forward to the breakfast. And then my Aunt Shirley from the Bay Area, she could feed 60 people off almost a chicken. I don't know how she would feed all those people, but I tell you, Aunt Shirley would feed everybody on any given day. It didn't have to be a party. So I think I took a lot of her her ways and her gifts from cooking and enjoying it, you know, just socializing. And I opened it up and I always said, my house is a house a house of expecting guests. So at any given time, I always like to have food, to bless people and just socialize. And I just want to mention, on New Year's Eve, I'm not having a party, but I'm doing gumbo as usual, so anybody is welcome to come over. New Year's Eve, gumbo in the house. Thank you.
Thank you, Ruth. Thank you for that invitation.
Julia. Can I
yes,
say one thing,
you can say one more thing.
I'm cooking gumbo and chillings and black-eyed peas and greens, and anybody on this line is welcome to come to my house too. You know I'm a cooker.
Thank you.
I got it from my grandmother, and y'all, is all anybody that don't have a place to go, they're welcome to come to my house.
Thank you so much for that invitation. Thank you so much. All right, so we've talked about little Jessica and the fond memories of her daddy making breakfast, and really the point that I was trying to relay is the memories, the bond or more the memories that we can establish with our children and how important they are. As children, they don't recognize it while things are happening. It's not until you have an epiphany when you're older, like Marcus did. How special that is, and you can then take that. Or Ruth, you know, as a kid, she was impacted by what her Aunt Shirley did, and now she's taken that and has put her own spin on it with her amazing cooking abilities anyway and her generosity. I do truly believe that Ruth has the gift of hospitality, and that is a gift, absolutely. So the other thing that I wanted to bring out with regards to little Jessica, you know, it's usually at or around, you know, between the ages of, I don't know, maybe four, you know, the children are starting to become independent. I can do it myself. I do it myself. Dress themselves, and, you know, they don't really care. They know they got their clothes on. They can button their own shirts and things. But this thing about putting stuff on backwards and the shoes on the wrong foot happens for a while. Anybody have any wrong foot, any wrong shoe on the wrong foot story?
Bust me out, Tan. I thought you was talking about me. So what? I was 12, still putting my shoes on the wrong foot. You don't have to tell my business. My brother helped me. And Ruth, you know, when you see Squeaky slap him, he was teaching me how to tie my shoe, and he would tie them together. And so I think a lot of it was because my brother, who's 15 months older than me, terrorize me. I'm traumatized. So I think he was teaching me. And sometimes, I think those were those kids? So some of the shoes were a little hard to tell which was left and right. So, yeah. Thanks to my big brother, it took me a little longer to get my shoes on the right foot. But when I did, and I started dancing. Love you. Thank you. Your declaration was amazing. And like Deborah Yvonne said, it just gave us a warmth for this season. And, my grandmother used to make caramel cakes from scratch, and I would just I still haven't gotten that recipe down, but just to sit in the kitchen and watch her, and like Sister Julia said, the saints of old that did everything from scratch and making butter and all that stuff, I just miss those days. Thank you.
Thank you, Dee Dee. Anybody else? Shoes on the wrong foot. Maybe
Sister, do anybody remember the whole cake? Everybody, somebody don't know what whole cake is.
I kind of sort of remember them. I'm sure there are some other people that remember them. But yeah,
whole cake, just like pancakes.
I'm familiar. They're good too. It's like shortbread cookies, though.
Okay.
So as I was saying, I wanted to open it up. Anybody else have a wrong shoe on the wrong foot story? Maybe not
this
yours.
Pamela, my nephew used to always put his shoes on the wrong feet, and it would be so funny because we would say, you have your shoes on the wrong feet, and he would get so confused, and he'd be like, no, like, these are my shoes, and these are my feet. What are you talking about? And it would be like, no, they're on the wrong foot. Like, you got them backwards, and he would just be adamant that these are my feet. They're not the wrong feet. It was just so funny.
And the innocent, I mean, because they're sure at the time. I had one kid, I won't say their name, I won't even say their gender, because they would probably take a hit out on me. But, like, I could not get that kid to put their underwear on. They always put it on backwards. I was like, what is it that you don't understand? The larger part is for your butt. A lot, don't you see this? It took a while. It was amazing to me. They finally got it. Hopefully, I haven't asked them lately. I think they have it. I think they had. Wasn't the shoes? It was the underwear. They were always on backwards. Anybody else? One more. And then I'll.
I have one more thing to say, sister. Then I'm gonna go on mute. Do anybody remember the penny loafers?
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely do. You put them on the wrong foot.
I sure did. I was so glad to have a pair of shoes.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, I remember the penny loafers. I actually put a penny in each one of my loafers, right in that part where it had the little opening.
Yes.
Anyway, here's the analogy that I want to make with little Jessica and Daddy. Daddy pointed out to Jessica that her shoes were on the wrong foot. Daddy did that. Sometimes our Heavenly Father will point things out to us, and it would behoove us to listen to him, not to argue like Pamela's little nephew did. No, nope, these are my feet. These are my shoes. I know what I'm doing. Some of us do that. When our Father in Heaven knows exactly, listen, he knows far better than any one of us which direction we should go in, the outcome of situations, and what is best for us. So I'm going to encourage you to do just like little Jessica did. Humble yourself. If you have to take a seat, oh, my God, did you get that? I felt that thing. Take a seat, honey. Take a seat, sugar. Get your mind right. Switch those shoes. Put them back on. Lace them up really tightly and keep going. Don't look back. Just keep on going. All right. Let's talk a little bit about, before I move on, we were talking about memories, and some of us may not have those type of fond memories. I want to encourage you today, if you didn't have those memories as a child, you can create those types of memories for your children or the children that are in your circle. Maybe you don't know how to cook well. The great thing about social media and the internet today is that you can go online like to YouTube or something, you can go online to find recipes. You can go online to, and actually not just the recipe, but see step by step how to make different things. And I know this is a fast-paced, busy society. Some of us are going to work and we're going to school or just working and commuting. You don't really have the time. I want to challenge you to do something different. You can start this year or you can begin next year. But I would suggest that you start this year because things are starting to slow down now. People are starting to take vacations, and there's not going to be as many people on the road, and some of you will be taking vacations, so on and so forth, or you'll have, you know, your employers may give you, you know, a few hours off. Find something that you enjoy doing, or maybe that's something that you can learn together with your child. What an amazing memory it would be for your child, for you guys to learn something simple like if you have a favorite cookie. Or, you know, it doesn't have to be anything extravagant. Cookies are pretty simple, you know, and you can make them different sizes. You don't have to do an extravagant gingerbread house with all of that. Or maybe you want just come up with something. Or if you're really good at something, teach your child how to make this particular dish. You know, again, cookies are really simple. Don't go, I mean, you could go to the store and get the Toll House pre-made cookies. Okay, that's cute. It's not the same thing as teaching them the skill of cracking an egg open without getting the shell in the dough or in the egg once it's cracked open, or how to use a measuring cup. So now you're employing math skills. How to read a recipe. Have them reading the recipe out loud. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Talking about the ingredients. Going to the store and shopping for the ingredients. The skill that you will teach them is how to write down what it is that you need, prepare. You're teaching them to prepare, not to just go to the store on a whim. Some of us do that, and that's why we don't get all of the things that we need. But if you make a list beforehand, even before you go in the store, make a list. What I tend to do or what I used to do is before I left to make groceries, I would take an inventory. I would open the cabinets and see what I have, open the fridge to make sure that I'm not buying extra things that I'm helping somebody today. I know I am. Because some of y'all just go to the store and you buy yet another bag of potatoes. And now you've got five bags of potatoes at your house. What you going to make? Potato pancakes, potato salad, potato soup, potato bread, potato, come on, baked potatoes, french fries, scalloped potatoes, you know what I'm saying? So making a list of the items that you need before you go, and you can write the list down or you can put it right in your smartphone so that you have it accessible and ready when you get ready to make groceries. So now what you're doing is you take your child with you to the store, you pull out the list, this is what they need. Teach them what aisle has what, how they find things. Look up at the top. The aisles are numbered, and they will have on a sign baking goods. This is where we go to get the sugar. This is where we go to get the flour. Juice, we're not going to find juice here. We will find juice in the beverage aisle. You see what I'm saying? You can make it a learning experience and a fun experience. You go to the store, you get the ingredients that you're going to make, or you come back to the house. Teach them how to wash their hands first and then how to put the ingredients out and what they do, preheating the oven. You know, have them read the directions back to you and you guys make it a project. You know, that's something that you can do. Maybe not every day. Certainly not every day. Y'all will be 400 pounds. But think about, even if you only did it twice in a year, maybe the following time that you do a baking set, because baking is pretty easy. It's not as intimidating as learning how to fry chicken. Hopefully that helps, but it's a great rainy day or a winter day activity. Something as simple as making hot chocolate, not instant hot chocolate, but really warming the milk up on the stove in a pot. Oh, my God, do you remember that? Hot chocolate, warming it up on the stove and getting the real chocolate that they use and I used to put my chocolate, powdered chocolate, in the bottom of the mug. They got mugs at the dollar store. You can go get you some mugs, wash them out real quick, hot soapy water, teach them how to make some hot chocolate, being very careful. There are all kinds of things that you can do to create memories. But again, going back to, want to leave you with this final thought, Jessica's daddy, she pointed out to her that her shoes were on the wrong foot. instructed her, listen to this, I just got this other epiphany. He instructed her on what she should do to correct that mistake. She did so willingly, and when she did, he rewarded her with her Hello Kitty rain boots. See, when we are obedient, God will reward us. Not always with tangible things. Sometimes it's with health. Sometimes it is with restorative relationships, or maybe with the job that you wanted, or getting an A on your final. He rewards us. All right. Let's move on. Anybody have a comment on anything that I just said?
You forgot one thing. When you go to the drugstore, make sure you look at the dates on everything you buy.
Oh, that's a good point, Miss Julia. You are absolutely right. Because our children
because they put the old
them.
Stuff in the front and the new stuff in the back. So whenever you get can't go to the box store, everything, look at the date on it. Just don't pull it. Just get it and put it off the counter. Look at the date.
Thank you so much. I absolutely do that with my eggs and my milk and my. I absolutely will do that. Especially if you go to the dollar store, you always want to look at the date. Okay. Anybody else have a comment about anything that I said before I move on?
This is Pamela. When you were talking about directions and making recipes and cracking the eggs, and, you know, it just really made me start thinking about order and divine order and, you know, just you know, how even the scriptures talk, you know, the Bible tells us about, you know, keeping things in order and how everything should be done decently and in order. And, you know, I think it's just preparing our children and our young people how, you know, to really abide by order. It's like, you know, this whole world is, you know, based on order. And, you know, you can't put the eggs in the flour, and you can't do things that are out of order because it does not come together. And it just, you know, just kind of made me start thinking about, you know, order and what that meant, you know.
Thank you, Pamela. And that text that you referred to is actually in 1 Corinthians 14 and 40. And I don't know really why I'm on this, but I'm going to stay on it a little bit longer. God is an orderly God. As Pamela was alluding to, he is an orderly God. He doesn't haphazardly do things. He doesn't haphazardly throw things together. God is much more organized than that. And some of us are not as organized, and some of us are. Some of us are overly organized to the point where we have OCD. It's important for us to have a balance. It's important for us to have some order, because without order, your life can be chaotic. I mean, I'm not asking anybody to make a comment unless you want to, but if you are someone who tends to do things, and I'm not talking about doing things sporadic either, because there are certainly times when I've gone to the store and I didn't have a list because I knew, oh, my God, I'm out of eggs. Let me run by here and get something, and I got a couple of other things that I was out of. And I still to this day make lists. I don't have to make them as extensive as I did before when we had children at the house, but we're empty nesters, and we have been for quite a while, so it's just Carl and I. And to be honest, we eat out a lot, you know. But going back to staples, you know, I know when we're running out of the staples, the milk and the eggs and that type of thing. But going back to order, you would be surprised how much money you would save by being a little bit more orderly. For instance, if your cabinet, if you tend to just throw things in the cabinet, you don't have any order. There's no system in your cabinet. You don't have the peas together and the tuna together and the evaporated milk together, so on and so forth, and it's just jumbled in there, you might run out and spend your last money on, for instance, green beans, and you got 5 cans of green beans, but they're hidden behind the corn and the evaporated milk because you don't have any order in your cabinet. Or you might run out and buy some other supply when you've got, now I've done that a lot too, and I am orderly, it's just I wasn't paying attention. You know, and I had it in a different location. I keep my things in a certain location. I know where to get them. That's not just for my growth. That's not just for the items in my cabinet. I keep my keys in a certain location. I keep my shoes in a certain location. My purse in a certain location. I'm never getting up in the morning trying to figure out, where in the world are my keys? Where is my coat? Believe it or not, I have a coat closet. Believe it or not, one whole room is my closet because I don't have kids here no more. It's my closet room. It's my dressing room, as a matter of fact. It's a walk-in closet. my jewelry is in there, so my I don't know why I'm saying this, but my stuff that I wear during the week is in my closet room, and all my jewelry. The stuff that I wear on Sundays is in our master bedroom, my dress shoes and that type of thing. I just have the room now. It wasn't like that before. All I'm saying is that you don't have to be as neat with it as I am, but certainly if you are somebody that you're always late, you're always looking for something, you might want to consider having a specific place where you keep your keys. That's where you put them when you come home in the evening, and that's where you pick them up when you get ready to leave. You might want to do the same thing for your cell phone. There's a specific place where my phone is charged. I'm not generally looking for it. Generally, I'm not looking for it. Sometimes I've misplaced it, but generally I know where it is. Okay, hopefully you got something out of that. The order, I love the fact that we can pass on things to our children. Guys, again, we live in such an instant society. It's good for our children to know how to do things from scratch. Because what would happen, they can know the quick way, but what would happen if they, if that quick method wasn't available to them? Knowing how to do something puts them a cut above everybody else. It gives them a skill that most of their friends won't have. All right, so let's get to the fog portion of the declaration. Anybody have any fog stories? You were driving in the fog or walking in the fog, the thickness of it, how you felt about it, any fears you may have had about it. Anybody have any fog stories?
Hey, Tanya.
Hey.
This is Marcus again. I remember I was driving to L.A. once, and I had done that quite a few times, and, you know, it was nothing. But this one time, for some reason, that fog, I kid you not, was so thick, I could not see literally like 2 feet in front of my car, and it so scared me so much. But the crazy part is I needed to get there at a certain time, and I almost wanted to just pull over and say, you know what, forget it. I will just sleep on the side of the road until this clears, because it was devastating. I couldn't believe it. I was almost in tears, like, I got to get here, and it just really disturbed me. So that was my experience.
Thank you, Marcus. Anybody?
This is Patty.
Hey, Patty.
Good morning. Justin played football in Vegas one time, and we decided to drive the car, which was the dumbest thing ever. But on the way home, the fog was so bad. It intimidated me. So we did pull over. I mean, I was afraid, you know, I might end up driving off the road, but you see these cars flying 80 miles an hour. And I'm thinking, how can they do that? I can barely go 10 miles, but I actually pulled off the road, and we slept until the fog calmed down because it was so bad. Thick, kind of like what Marcus was saying. So that was my story.
Thank you for sharing. Anyone else have a fog story?
Hi, Tanya.
Okay, I heard two people. I think Ms. Barbara and Ms. D. Okay, in that order, please.
I don't have a fog story, but I just wanted to say thank you for your declaration, and thank you for this conversation that we're having. And I thought about when Ms. Julia was talking, I was thinking about order and cooking. You can actually mess up a cake if you don't do the butter and the sugar and put the eggs in at the right time. And do order is very important. So I just want to say thank you, Tanya. You always it's just like you have that, I want to say, mother wit. And it's a blessing to listen to you. It just really is. You guys have a blessed day.
Thank you, Miss Barbara. You almost made me cry. Missy?
Hey, ma'am. I was just thinking.
Oh, I'm sorry. Missus. I'm sorry. I thought that was Missy. Go ahead, Missus.
I was, my mind went back when you was talking about Pacifica. Mm-hmm. We used to live in Pacifica, and I had to go to work. And I had to be at work at like 4 o'clock in the morning. And it was so foggy that while I was driving, I had to look at the road, you know, at the bottom where my lights mm-hmm. was, because I couldn't see anything else. So I remember that.
Yeah. And it can be really, did anybody else want to say anything about the fog before I jump in?
Miss D is still in queue.
Oh, Miss D, that was you who spoke up.
Yeah, but I know someone else was before me. I like the fog. Thank you again for your declaration. Really thought-provoking. But I like the fog. When I was a little girl, I used to love foggy days, being able to walk in it. It kind of heightens the other senses. And like the person before me just said, when I'm driving, I look at the ground and I'm really cautious. But as a kid, I would walk and just watch my feet as I stuck them out in front of me. And slowly... to the school. We lived about 4 blocks from school, and the fog also for me, it's a covering. So it felt like I was kind of surrounded and wrapped in it, you know, that moist feeling on your body, on your face. It kind of opens your lungs up. So I enjoy foggy weather.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else?
Yes, Tanya.
No.
Tanya. I mean,
yes.
Tanya. You know, my fog story happened way back in the 80s, and I had just moved out here to California, and I lived in San Francisco when I first, I'm in Oakland now, I lived in San Francisco when I first moved out here to California. And like I just heard someone mention Pacifica, it was a moment, you know, like in the Daly City area, it gets really foggy over there. And it was a time when I was driving home with my kids in the back seat of the car, and it was so foggy that it was eerie, you know. I'm not used to it. I wasn't used to it at that time. And my son, while I'm driving down the freeway, my son, he opened the back door. And I like, wow. So I had to stop. And I wasn't driving. Their mother was driving, and I was in the passenger seat. And it scared me so bad. We had to pull over. But it's so foggy, and we like on the freeway, and make sure that all the kids was in the car. It was my heart. It shook me. And that's one fog story. But the other part, when you were sharing how that the fog blocks out the sun, and I began to think about the distractions that we have in our lives that blocks us off from Jesus. And when Marcus mentioned how that he could smell the spaghetti that used to be prepared when they came home from school, the dinner was already prepared, and how that it don't happen like it used to in the old days during this time. And I thought about society the way it is now, being a distraction, that it the reason why so many meals is not prepared today when the children get home, because of the fog, the distraction that blocks us from Jesus. It's like social media. With the society, we moving so fast that we don't have time to prepare a meal. We go through the drive-thru. So what is it that's blocking me off from Jesus, from being able to see in the sunlight? There's a multitude of things. But this year, 2015, I have removed a great deal of the clutter. But I right now I'm in need of prayer. Y'all just keep Brother Jeff Sarge in mind
continue to lift me up to the Father, because I'm like going through a little something right now, and I'm looking through the fog to my Lord and Savior, because I'm definitely in a fog right now. Thank you for letting me share.
You're so welcome, and we are absolutely praying that the sun will break through the fog in your life, and that the sun will show up brightly in your life. It happens to all of us. You just keep going cautiously, Brother Jeff, and everyone else who may find themselves in that situation, put one foot in front of the other. It's ironic that you spoke and you started to interject those thoughts, because that's exactly where I wanted to lead to next. But before we do so, I want to talk about a different type of fog. The type of fog that can have us uncertain or unclear about, and it can be a form of distraction as well, but anybody ever heard the phrase that, you know, that my thoughts were foggy, or my brain is a little foggy right now, or feeling a little fuzzy about stuff, I need to clear my head. Anybody ever heard those phrases before? And would you like to share a foggy moment that you had, or a foggy experience?
This is Patty, and mm-hmm. Some of the times, not always, but some of the times when I have that, because I get that fog myself, or and I'm sitting down to read my word, it's like, Lord, I can't even understand. I don't understand one word I just read. I don't understand what's going on. I mean, I have to go to the Lord, and, you know, sometimes, you know, I just can't get it, Lord. I don't hear what you're trying to show me or tell me in the word. And sometimes it's just as simple as me saying, good morning, Lord. Thank you for, you know, just thanking him for the day and the time able to spend with him. It might be some chaos that's taking place in the house that, you know, kind of still carrying on in my brain. And it's just removal, spending some time with the Lord and having him cleanse me, asking him to forgive me for my sins. I mean, that ends up being my fog. So if I've done something, I've screamed at somebody, I need to handle it, because I'm not able to just jump in my word. And for me, I don't get what I'm reading. I can read it, but I'm reading it 10 times. And even now on that 10th time, I may not get it. So for me, clearing out that fog, literally I have to, and sometimes it may not be that it has anything to do with sin or the chaos. It just may be the day was just like a wild day. And I carried something in with me, and my brain is fogged. It's closed. It's shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. Sister Tanya.
Yes.
This is Brother Eric.
Hey.
I remember my first year in the Air Force, I remember I went to this service, and one of his chaplains was a former, before he became chaplain, he worked in the maintenance, aircraft maintenance, and he worked in a section that they call avionics. And in that section, he worked on what they call instruments. And he preached this sermon about flying through the fog. And he described fog as this climatic condition that not only, you know, blocks your sight, but it also it gives you a false sense of security, the isolation that Miss D talked about. But he said sounds and visual information become muted or become different or become distorted while in fog. One of the things pilots are taught to do is flying by using their instruments. And the instruments are the dials and the gauges on in the dashboard of the airplane. They put a coordinates, and they set their instruments by that coordinates. So when it becomes fog and they can't see out the window, they fly by instruments. So what the gals tells them where they're going, and that's how they fly.
And he said that's one of the most difficult things for a pilot to do, is to learn. It's the process of learning how to do that. But once a pilot finds out that if I follow the instruments, I will get to the coordinations I put in them, they become more and more confident. And this is how not just military, but this is how airline pilots can fly through bad weather or conditions like fog. And he was talking about our instruments. That's the direction that God gives us. And the coordinates are his words, so that if we apply God's word to our lives and we, like you said, walk by faith and not by sight, if we set our minds on that instrument and have the confidence or the faith that the instruments will lead us to the coordinates, then we'll be all right. I like the way he talked about it's a process, and that the more that you rely on your instruments, the more that you get up in the air, the more that you fly through these atmospheric conditions, these times of where you can't see anything, and you see that the instruments will guide you to the coordinates, the more confident your flying will be.
Wow. Eric, thank you. I was trying to be calm, but I feel a preach coming. I won't do that to y'all. But I felt the anointing of God as you shared. I had so many epiphanies of our lives. You know, some of us are in situations where, you know, our instincts are telling us one thing, but our internal guide, our internal GPS, is telling us, no, stay the course. Don't stop. Stay the course. Just continue to put one foot in front of the other. And you're like, no, I just want to sit down because, you know, I've been walking in this fog forever, and I don't know where God is. I've been in this situation for months. He hasn't said anything. He hasn't sent anybody my way. I feel like I'm mocking time. You know, like a hamster on a treadmill. Even though I am putting one foot in front of the other, I don't feel like I'm making any progress. Well, when you're in fog, you can't see any landmarks. You can't see anything around you. So while you're in the fog of decision-making or in the fog of the trial of your faith, you don't realize you may have putting one foot in front of the other. You may have literally walked 10 miles. It may not feel like it because you don't see any. Nothing has changed around you. You don't feel any different. And if you're not careful, the internal conversations that you start to have with yourself will talk you out of continuing to move forward. That's why we say so much on this call, just keep going. Don't give up. If I don't quit, I win. Keep going. Yeah. Keep going. Yes.
I wanted to say thank you for saying that, because that's exactly where my mind has been lately. It's not in the fog, but I'm it's so much going on, and I just recently shared with my mom, sometimes we need to just be still, spiritually shut down, because it is so much going on, and you just said it, because we're not hearing from God in certain situations because we have so much noise and other things, and sometimes you truly have to shut everything down and be still to get clarity, because it's foggy situations. The Bible is clear, but sometimes you can't even make out scripture because you can't see beyond that thing. You know, if that makes any sense. In the middle of it, God has something to say. He's never going to leave us, but life is so distracting and things hit us, and sometimes we're so busy trying to get what's going on tomorrow done today that we're missing it, if that makes any sense. It's foggy. Fogs are going to happen. I love Brother Eric's analogies of that, because if you can't see, like crossing a bridge, you don't know what's on the other side of that bridge sometimes, but you have to, your faith, it's all about your faith. He did it before, and day after day, even on the call, you can hear sometimes the fear in certain prayer requests. You can't fear in faith, if it makes any sense. We have to get to a point where the pity has to turn to praise, the worry has to turn to worship. We got to trust God beyond what we can see with our natural eyes, if that makes any sense, no matter what we're facing. Because some of us are facing some stuff, and it don't look like there's any hope. It looks hopeless, but we have to keep hope alive and know that He did it before. He's the same God. God does not change. It's just that we don't see that thing manifesting in our time, and we want it now. We want it right now. But no, we have to go through some fog. We have to. It was fog and rain and everything for me coming to work on three freeways this morning. My car almost went out of control. I saw four accidents, but I kept going. I slowed down a little bit, and I started praying, and I started trusting God because he's a good God. And we just got to trust him through the fog when you can't see, you know what I mean, when you can't see your way through. But you got to trust him because he did it before. You gotta believe it. It's a faith thing. It all turns back to faith and trusting God to be who he said he was. He can't lie to us. So when situations seem to be unclear, just keep going. God will never leave us. Even if it gets hard, you can't see. Thank you, Brother Eric, for that analogy. I love you. Thank you, Tanya.
Awesome.
Hi, Tanya.
Yes.
Hey, Tanya. This is
So I heard two people. Hold on one second. I heard two people. Who was it? I know it was Deborah Yvonne, and who else?
Oh, sorry. This is Ruth again.
And Ruth. Okay, so Deborah Yvonne and then Ruth.
Okay, I just wanted to say that there's something that comes to my mind where the Lord says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So when we're in the fog, when we're going through various trials and tribulations, like Dee Dee said and others have said, we have to trust him because he's working things that's in us so that his good, perfect, and complete will can be worked through us and in us. And it is a painful place, but this is the point where you have to keep your focus on the Lord. You can't look to the left. You can't look to the right. And you have to be ever so keenly, I've said it over and over again, to listen and to obey him in the things that he will have you to do and not to do, because this is your lifeline. This is your life, and each and every one of us have to carry our own walk. We can't look to Tanya or Dion or Brother Jeff. We each have to carry it and go through. And this is something that we as a Christian that I'm finding out that is going to come over and over again, because it's different areas that the Lord wants to make us perfect and complete in. And it's painful because the Lord is working out the world system that's in us, out of us, and he is replacing it with his thoughts, with his word. And this is why it's really painful. But like others have said, you got to keep your focus, because that's how you come out of it. And you got to stay in your rest, because if you get overly anxious, everything gets confusing. You're not able to listen to him. You're not able to obey what he tells you to do. And so you got to stay in that rest. And I don't mean just sit down rest. I mean it's a internal deep rest where you know his word. Even if you know one scripture, you hang on to that and you walk it through. And then the Lord will give you more as you learn. Because the more that you learn of the Lord, the more that you will fear him and you will understand him. See, he says that the ones that get wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, you will start to see the higher insight of what he has for you. So you can't quit. You got to keep going, because there's nothing to go back to. You have been exposed. You have been opened up to. So you can't go back. You have to go for it. There's no choice. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Deborah. She felt that thing this morning. Thank you, Deborah. Ruth, was next, I think. Ruth, are you there? All right, well, it's 7:56, and I'm going to get ready to wrap it up. There's so many different things that I would like to share with you, but my mind is going in a whole bunch of different directions. But I'm going to try to reel it in with this, and I want to go back to the analogy that Eric gave with the pilot. One of the things that he said when pilots are learning how to fly the aircraft, that it's uncomfortable. One of the challenges for them is to depend on the instrument and not their sight. They have to learn that to the atmospheric conditions. Did you get that? Regardless of the atmospheric conditions, they are trained to learn to trust the instrument. And so as I wrap it up and I think about us and our walk, the fog at times is very necessary because it forces us to pay attention to the atmospheric conditions. What's going on in the atmosphere? What are we releasing in the atmosphere? What are we hearing in the atmosphere? What are we seeing in the atmosphere? Do we need to change our course? Do we need to ensure that we're not exposing our ears and our eyes to certain things? What's going on? Are you alert? Are you aware of your surroundings? And start to focus and depend on the internal instrument, the Holy Spirit, leading us and guiding us, telling us which direction to go, whether we should stand, whether we should move, whether we should walk or run, go to the left, go to the right, jump. Are we listening? Are we that in tune? Understanding, again, that we walk by faith and not by sight instead of the opposite. See, when you walk by sight, when you can't see the sun, it can be scary to you. The sun, S-O-N. You can't feel him. Is he still there? Just because you can't see it or see him doesn't mean that he's left you or that it doesn't exist. The sun is still there through the fog in our life. Thank you, Pamela. The sun is still there. You know it's daylight outside even though it's foggy right now. I know the sun came up. Usually when I'm in my prayer room or my office, I can see the orange color of the sun as it comes. I know it came up. There's light outside. But I can't see. I can see some light just ever so faintly. But I know the sun is up, even though I can't see the sun. I can't even feel the sun right now. So we don't live a victorious life based upon our feelings. We don't live a victorious life based upon what we can see. We live a victorious life based upon our belief in God, that he will never leave nor forsake us, that he will supply all of our needs, that he does not give us a spirit of fear but of power, love, and a sound mind. How am I able to rattle those things off? They just popped up because I've made investments in my life over the years. Investments. I've invested my time in reading the Word of God and studying the Word of God. And so when things pop up, I don't need a preacher to encourage me. It's great to get the preached Word of God, but I only go to church on Sundays as a whole to hear that preached Word. I need something to sustain me through the week. And it is the deposits that I make and or listening to other preached word through other media devices that encourages my heart, as well as being a participant on Declare Victory. I'm encouraged today. I hope that you were encouraged by something that was shared either by me or someone else, not to be afraid of the fog, but to continue to put one foot in front of the other. You all pray my strength in the Lord. As I take my final this morning at 10:30 a.m., Say a prayer for me. I ain't scared at all. I've been studying. I've been making deposits. Amen. Love y'all to life. Have a
go
wonderful
get your
day.
Blessing. Go get it. Go get it.
I'm
go
it.
Get your
I'm
blessing.
It.
You gonna ace that, sister. You gonna ace that thing, girl. Love you.
Love you more. Happy birthday again, Andrew. I hope you have a great day today. Love y'all.
Let's say happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
All right. Love y'all. Bye. Love you too.
Peace and love.
Be safe.
Love you.